Right, we are in Revelation, and let me say that the next lesson is right here, and the slides are there, but we will not get there. We are going to complete last week's lesson. Now, there will be part of Revelation that we will probably go fast on. But if you get those first three verses of the book, if you get it, then you'll get your mind straight as to how to read that book. And I'm spending the time. It might take us a few months on those three verses. So I'm spending the time necessary because there is so much wrong in approaching the book of Revelation, that so many misconceptions. So if you remember, the plan that we offered for the book of Revelation, so you remember the sandwich, we have an introduction, we have a conclusion, the first three verses introduction, and then you have about the last 12 verses is conclusion of the book, okay? So that's a sandwich. So you really have a combination. And then you have really a presentation of Jesus Christ. Okay, here it is. And then you have a parallel to that, the plans of Jesus Christ. That's the biggest part of the book. And then the center of the book is really what Christ has to say. This is my sermons to you, my people. Okay? So when you look at this, we look at, last week, we began talking about the subject matter of introduction of Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 1 and 1 to 3. So what is the introduction of Jesus Christ? We say that in those first three verses, we saw that there is a hierarchy of this introduction. John calls it a revelation, and this revelation goes from God to the Son, and from the Son to his angel, and from his angel to John, and from John to a messenger, and from the messenger to the rest of us. And pretty much that chapter, those five elements of that hierarchy we see here, when we study those, it will give us a good understanding of the focus of the book. What God was thinking about. And what God was thinking about, that's the way we should read the book. Not because of some very influential preacher or writer who tells you, hey, look over here, look at that thing glittering over there. No, that is, it's what God wants you to focus on is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's why we are spending the time necessary to explain that. So we will study this introduction of our Lord in these five phases. And we started last week talking about that first one in the statement, a revelation of Jesus Christ from God to Christ. So we said then that there are three things we need to clarify in this introduction of this revelation of Jesus Christ by God to Christ. The first, those three things were, one, the meaning of the expression revelation of Jesus Christ, two, the sense of the declaration which God gave him. I'm hoping to introduce that number two. And three, it's the overall implications of this revelation for us. So now, we started studying number one last week. And what we saw of those three, there were three things to see in this. One, when we talk about the meaning of the expression revelation of Jesus Christ, there are three things to see there. The first thing is the meaning of the word revelation. And we say it means unveiling, okay? It means uncovering, and hence revelation. Good? That was the easy part. The second thing is the meaning of the expression revelation of Jesus Christ. That's where we say it can be objective, or it can be subjective. By objective, it means Jesus Christ is revealing things. You see, the object, things is the object of reveal. Or it can be subjective. At that time, Jesus is the subject of reveal. Jesus Christ is revealed. And we have concluded, especially from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, Philippians 2, 9, 11, that we should take it what way? Objective or subjective? Subjective. Okay? Jesus Christ is revealed. And then we got to the third part of the meaning of the expression. It is the use of the word revelation in Scripture. And we said that when you look at that expression, you have revelation of things, and we saw those revelation of things, and you have revelation of people. Okay? So when it comes to, we saw the passage, do we have a slide next to that? Revelation of things, revelation of people, go further. Next. Okay. So we revelation of things, and we saw the verses. So today, guess what we're going to talk about? Revelation of people, and we are going to. So pretty much I think that's all we'll have. We have 10 different passages to look at. And that's probably pretty much what we'll have time to do, which is the second half of the lesson we're supposed to give last Wednesday, okay? I tell you. But it's a time well spent in it. So let's go about this. When the word revelation is used in association with people, it means to make appeal, to disclose in a manner that had been so far unknown. You are presenting a person, you are disclosing things that were not known. Okay? So whenever it is associated. And you are going to see that almost all the passages in the New Testament where the word reveal or revelation is used, it is about Jesus Christ. Of those 10, the first two are indirectly related to Christ. The last 8 pretty much are directly talking about Christ. I hope that I have my calculation right. Okay? So I think we did have read the first one, but it behooves us to go to the first passage, Luke chapter 2, verse 32.
Bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel.
Okay, revelation to the Gentiles. And Simeon was the one speaking at that time. The parents of Jesus came to the temple. The Holy Spirit told Simeon that he will not die until he had seen with his own eyes the Christ. And that day, the Holy Spirit led him to the temple. And Simeon saw, I said, yeah, the Holy Spirit gave him the impression, that's the person we're talking about. And he took the baby in his hand, and he said that Christ is a light to lighten or to bring clarity to the Gentiles. So, indirectly, okay, it's talking about Christ, but the word revelation is to the Gentiles. It's a person who is going to be revealed to the Gentiles, and the revelation of that person, who is Jesus Christ, is going to be light to people like us from darkness. So, the whole thing about knowing God is Christ being revealed to us. And Simeon said that, here it is. You know that person, you have light. Okay? Let's go to the second one, Romans chapter 8, verses 18 and 19.
For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Okay.
For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God.
Okay, so you have the word revealed twice, the glory to be revealed, and the revelation of the glory. So the word revelation is used for things in verse 18, and for sons of God in verse 19. So a time will come when the sons of God will be revealed as sons of God. There will be no doubt who are true sons of God and who are not. But it's not going to be simply a matter of identity. When that revelation is done, there will be special privileges upon the sons of God. And when you read the book of Revelation, the special privileges is this. We are going to be partakers, to use the old word, of the same glory that Jesus Christ has. And that glory is so manifest, we'll see later, where we won't get there today. But it says in the passage that Christ himself is that glory. It's so much every inch of glory is to him that there is no difference between glory and Christ. Okay? So, we will appear as we have been promised in Jesus Christ, without blemish, without fault. We'll be before in his presence, the presence of his glory, as Jude said. No blemish, no fault. That's what will be revealed. But we are not seen that way at this present moment. And all that is because of Jesus Christ. And now, let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7.
So that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, so you see, beginning now, all the way through, it will always be an expression about the first two passages where Revelation, Jesus Christ is revealed to the Gentiles for salvation. The sons of God are revealed to in the presence of everybody because we are in Jesus Christ. Now it is Jesus Christ himself who is revealed. So Luke 2 chapter 32 was about revelation to the nations. Romans 8:19 is about revelation of believers as sons of God. And then these are all revelation about Jesus, regarding Jesus Christ himself. In this passage, while we are waiting for Jesus Christ to be revealed or to appear, we are not left destitute. Even though all the abundance of glory is going to be when he appeared, it does not mean that we are in a miser state right now. We have faith and faithfulness, so Christ is the source and sustainer of our spiritual life right now. The reason that you have the impulse and you are governed to be here to read the Bible despite fatigue, despite discouragement, despite all those things that could happen, it's because of Jesus Christ. All the sources for source and sustenance of spiritual life comes from him. But when he appears, no problem. Faultless, blameless, and everything. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 12, verse 1, please.
Boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable. But I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord.
Okay, revelation of the Lord. So to understand this verse, we should read it in conjunction with 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. I'll tell you what 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1 says. There Paul says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen, you see, reveal, have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Jesus was revealed to him in person, okay, in his resurrected body. So the people of Corinth just gave Paul a hard time regarding Paul's preaching. It is a tough position for a preacher to be in. In both letters, Paul somehow had to refer to his having seen the Lord Jesus to validate his authority to preach the word of God to them as he did. And when he did preach that way, they kind of accused him of boasting. He gave the word and they say, you are boasting, you are arrogant, you are proud. And Paul had to take his stand to say, yes, it is doubtless not profitable to boast about myself. But I will boast of the authority that God gave me through Jesus Christ appearing in person to me, telling me to preach to you the unsearchable riches of Christ. He would say, for example, to you, the Ephesians, I magnify my ministry. So if I stand here and I'm telling you, I am going to preach the word of God, you may call me arrogant. But Paul is saying, I am not boasting that I am doing. I am doing what Jesus Christ who appealed to me, tell me to do. And brethren, I have not seen Jesus Christ in person, just as Paul has seen him. But I can tell you that I take the same stand. I have determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ alone and him crucified and resurrected and coming in glory. And there I take my stand. And if you want to come and you hassle me, you try to humiliate me, you try to put me in guilt trick, you know, more power to you. There I take my stand. And the time that the church will not want someone like this, get me out. But as long as the Lord wants me here and you want me here, that's what I'm going to preach. Jesus Christ and him crucified and resurrected and coming again. And that's what Paul is saying. Call it boasting and arrogant and all that you want to. And in this, Paul is saying, now you are telling me not to this. Jesus Christ appeared to me. He was revealed to me and he told me to do this. Whom am I going to listen now? Okay. Now look at Galatians chapter 1 verse 12.
For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ.
Oh, here again. That's a parallel to what we just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1. Again, the gospel that Paul preached came from Jesus Christ directly when Christ appeared to him. And you remember, it was not one, and the appearance he's talking about was those 3 years he spent in the Galatians areas in Arabia area, you know. And we're there, I mean, the first day in Acts chapter 9, the Lord Christ appeared to him and I said, okay, now you want to fight me? It's not going to be good for you. You got blinded. People are carrying him, holding him by hand. All the proud man was now being led, sometime probably by some young little kid, to say, here's the door, here's this. And the Lord appeared to him and said, this is the gospel that I want you to preach. Christ revealed himself. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7.
And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels.
Okay. So the revelation of Jesus Christ from heaven with his mighty angels. There is a book in the Bible which is all about that very thing. What do you think that book is? What do you think the name of that book is? Revelation. Jesus Christ appearing with his mighty angels. That's what it is about. Okay? So we walk straight because the Master is coming. And I'm telling you, this is quite a revelation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Since that we're going faster to those verses, so we might begin the next lesson. Okay, so let's go. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7.
There have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed.
Okay. And in fact, in the Greek, it said the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the expression revelation of Jesus Christ here is the same as the exactly same Greek construction as the first words of the book of Revelation. So when John studied that book, Revelation of Jesus Christ, this was not a new expression to the people. They had been used to it, at least from the letter of Peter. The revelation of Jesus Christ. It shows that concept of second coming being called revelation of Jesus Christ had been in use for decades before John wrote it. Well, the revelation of Jesus Christ when he started, and everybody knew what he was talking about. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13.
Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed.
In Greek, it's at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So you think you have received grace so far from our Lord? You ain't seen anything yet. At the revelation of Jesus Christ, our Lord, it is going to be just fantastic. When I was in college, the keyword was awesome. And when something was extra awesome, you say megasome. I mean, this is megasome. So hang on. Get to work despite the difficulties and the odds and the challenges and the disappointments and the meager results. Because I'm telling you, at the revelation of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, you are going to be blown away. Okay. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13.
But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation.
So when at the revelation of his glory, when he is revealed in his glory, when he in his glorious state is revealed, I'm telling you, this is marvelous. And then, guess what we have? Revelation chapter 1, verse 1.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel and his servant John.
So when John started revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, what do you think the believers at that time would have understood revelation of Jesus Christ to mean? What do you think? Second coming of Christ. All those things we've been reading there. Those are things that not only are they written in the letters, they were preached. So that expression, revelation of Jesus Christ, people knew when they hear it, the ears and data came, and this book is saying, let me give you a video of what revelation of Jesus Christ looks like. We kept talking about it and preaching about it. Let me give you a video. So looking at these references, it leaves no doubt that the expression revelation of Jesus Christ means that Jesus Christ appears or that Jesus Christ is revealed. And it is specifically connected with his second coming, his glorious appearing. In 1 Peter chapter 4, 13, Peter calls it his glory, at the appearing of his glory, when his glorious self is revealed. And that is the vein in which the book must be read and studied. It must be read and studied with appreciation for the glorious Lord and Savior, not to pick fights, even though we may be in hard times today, not to pick fights about end times discussion. So the intent of this book is to cheer the glorious triumph of the Lamb, even though we may be in hard times today. And at his revelation, everything will be set straight. So let us therefore gird our loins now and get to work. Let us endure and not faint, because I'm telling you, at the revelation of Jesus Christ, you are going to be blown away. So that's what the book is talking about. Now, let me give you a hint of what we have coming in our study for next week. We are to understand the expression revelation, not next week, the week after. Next week we have vacation Bible school. So to understand the expression revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, we said there were three points we needed to understand. We needed to understand the meaning of the expression revelation of Jesus Christ. That is, what we just finished studying. We know that it means that Jesus Christ is revealed in a way he had never been seen before. So the second thing is that we needed to understand the sense of the declaration which God gave him. Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him. And it is what we are introducing today, and we will study the next time we meet on the book. And the third thing is really kind of a conclusive thought to put everything together. We need to understand the overall implications of this revelation for us and in the book. So let us introduce the second important point, the sense of the declaration which God gave him. Throughout Scripture, whenever there is a big, unique entrance of the Son for a big, huge, new chapter of God's program, the Father himself take it upon himself to introduce the Son to the world. Now, he may send special envoys of angels. The Holy Spirit may be acting. But whenever you are having the Son being revealed in a new chapter, like the first coming of Christ, or the second coming, or on the cross, Father, glorify your name. And you hear the Father, as if the Father had been looking every minute and say, I have, Son, I have. And people hearing this, what was that? And what we have here, when you hear that expression which God gave him, it is about this presentation of the Son in this profile in which he had never seen before. It is an initiative of the Father. So to understand the expression which God gave him, we have to look at Scripture just as we did in order to understand the expression revelation of Jesus Christ. And when we look at Scripture to grasp the two main thoughts, there are two main thoughts in that expression. It is the fact it is God, and the other fact is the giving. So the idea of God introducing the Son and the idea of God giving the Son the revelation. Now, I better stop here. Okay? So when we get back, we are going to look at those two things. It's the point whenever you have a big new chapter in God's program that pertains to the Son, God the Father himself take it to introduce the Son. It happens at the first coming and then at the second coming. And you will see in the New Testament, every time, you remember that word revelation that almost every time it's used, it's Jesus Christ, okay? Either indirectly in the first two passages, directly, definitely, clearly, absolutely in the last eight passages. You will see the same thing. Whenever you see the word God giving to the Son, guess what he gives him? It's all about the glory of the second coming. You can remember some passages. When Christ got resurrected and he came to the disciples, guess what he said? All what? All authority is what? Given. You go on and on. You will find Philippians, he said, God has what? Above every name. God has given him a name which is above him. And you find it on and on. So that the same thing happens when you get to this expression. Not only you have the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the introduction of the Son in a chapter you have never seen before. He says, which God gave him. I mean, it goes all the way back to the Old Testament in some chapter, in some two. When all those nations, they rage. And God was sitting on the throne, he just laughed. And he said, guess what? Let me tell you the decree. It's a decision that has been made long, long time ago. And he said, this is a communication in eternity. Ask me, and I will what? Give you. So when you get to that book, what does God want you to be looking at and thinking? The Son who is glorified with the name which is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, we don't pick fight, we bow down. We bow down. Let us stop here because I'm pretty much giving you the whole lesson that I will do next. But we'll see those passages and spend time together. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a marvelous thing? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him. And that is what we should focus on in our ministry, in our lives. You know, I'm not a preacher for myself. You are not a whatever you are for yourself. It is all about the glory of Jesus Christ. In television, they are pretty much telling you that Jesus Christ exists for you. Okay, it's about your wealth and about your health. And whenever you blessing is when you have wealth and health. It's never a blessing to be chosen by God to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Or like the apostles, to be judged worthy to suffer for Christ. That is the perspective, is we are who we are, we do what we do in and for Jesus Christ. He is the one God has given revelation, not you. And that's a perspective by which we should serve the Lord and do ministry. Thank you. God bless you. Apocalypse, Jesus Christ. God bless.